Members, if you take your seats, we'll get started. Infrastructure Strategies Committee will come to order. Missy, will you please call the roll and announce the presence of a quorum?
Chair Payne.
Here.
Vice Chair Kennedy.
Here.
Committee Whip Smith.
Here.
Ranking Member Hunshofsky.
Here.
Representative Andrade.
Here.
Representative Botana.
Here.
Representative Brackett.
Here.
Representative Buchanan. Representative Cassell.
Here.
Representative Cheney.
Here.
Representative Escamani.
Here.
Representative Gottlieb. Representative Keane.
Here.
Representative Killebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Representative Lopez.
Here.
Representative McFarland.
Here.
Representative Mooney.
Here.
Representative Nixon. Representative Placencia.
Here.
Representative Redondo.
Here.
Representative Robinson.
Here.
Representative Schoaf is excused. Representative Stevenson.
Here.
Representative Tomko. Representative Trunell. We have a quorum.
Members, by your presence, we have a quorum. Please make sure your cell phones and communication devices are off. I can get it out, including your laptops, are either off or placed on silence. Members, we have 12 bills this morning on the agenda, and we will start with Speaker Pro Tem Clemens, who is in a white sports coat with a pink crustacean.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning. Thank you, Ranking Member. Thank you for taking my text this morning. Here with my super-duper prime co-sponsor, Representative Jim Mooney, who not only is he a conch, but he's a crustacean extraordinaire, and he's here to ask all of you to support HB 91 this morning. This is a legislation that would designate Historical Highway A1A in honor of an individual whose impact on the state of Florida is beyond what we can ever state. It would designate the entirety of A1A from mile marker zero on Duval Street in Key West all the way up to the terminus in Fernandina Beach. It will go through 12 Florida counties and giving the counties an opportunity to opt in and participate should they choose. Jimmy Buffett passed on the Friday, ironically the Friday before the Labor Day show. And we're hoping to get this bill and the first signs erected before Friday of 2024 so that we can have permanent Labor Day shows in Florida with a memorial that is befitting of an entrepreneur, of an environmentalist, and someone who spread his goodwill throughout anyone that would listen to his tunes. That's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Chair Clemens. For HB 91, members, are there questions of the sponsor? Questions of the sponsor? Seeing none, are there amendments? No amendments. Is there public testimony on the bill? And we have representing Margaritaville, Mr. Jeff Sharkey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Vice Chairman. Jeff Sharkey, I represent Margaritaville and have been a friend of Jimmy Buffett's for 30 years. And I can't tell you how impressed and pleased the family is with this dedication. Speaker Pro Tem and Representative Mooney, they were here, as you may remember, for Jimmy Buffett Day last week. It's the first time I've ever seen them all together. And they were tears and of joy in their hearts for the celebration and the tribute that you're paying to them and certainly for the leadership you're providing. So I just want to thank you again for this outstanding thing. And I think, you know, Jimmy would be smiling for all of those rides down A1A and the music blaring out the window. So thank you so much. Appreciate it very much. Support the bill. Thank you.
No additional public testimony. Members, is there debate on the bill? Debate on the bill? No one. I will just make a comment. Speaker Pro Tem Clemens and Rep. Mooney, we've lost some songwriters lately, some performers lately, two huge fans from my generation. I'm a big fan. I think some of the lyrics and music from Buffett actually impacted my life, and I still find myself singing those tunes in my mind every now and then. So I appreciate you bringing the bill forward. With that, Representative Clemens, you're recognized to close.
Mr. Chairman and members, I hope that you can support this. You know, Jimmy Buffett had an autobiography, and the title was A Good Life All the Way. I'd like to add that he lived his life like a song. I had a friend of mine rag me and said, well, how many Jimmy Buffett concerts did you ever go to? And I said, none. But I did wear out 2 8-tracks and a dozen cassette tapes before CDs were ever invented. And that gives me the qualifications to bring this forward. And I'll ask for all of your support for this good bill. Thank you.
Representative Clemens, having closed, Missy, will you please call the roll? And I want to make sure members, you make sure you change your attitudes this morning.
Representatives Andrade?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Cassell?
Yes.
Cheney? Escamani?
Yes.
Gottlieb? Hunshofsky?
Yes.
Keene?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Lopez?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Nixon? Placencia?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Trunell?
Yes.
Chair Payne?
Yes. Members, by your vote, show HB 91 is reported favorably. Congratulations to you. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Okay, members, next we'll hear CS for HB 247, services provided by the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles and its agents, by Representative Maney. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. Members of the committee, this is a friendly bill. I sent everybody except Representative Keene a text this morning explaining the bill, but every provision in it either helps regular taxpayers, veterans, heirs of people who died, and folks who at times rent trucks. I guess that's all I want to say at this point, unless there are questions. There is one very short technical amendment.
Representative Maney, having explained his bill, members, are there questions of the sponsor of the underlying bill? Questions of the sponsor? Okay, there is an amendment, barcode 122971. Representative Maney, you're recognized to explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a very simple amendment. It takes out about 6 words that the Reptil Committee of the Florida Bar said they thought were surplus, and it makes a technical change to take some unneeded detail out of the requirement for an attorney to file an affidavit of dissent so that people can inherit simply an automobile without having to go through probate. That's the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for that. Members, are there questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? Seeing none, public testimony. Tim Qualls from the Florida Tax Collectors Association waving in support. Yeah, let's see anything else. That's it. Okay, members, we're in debate on the amendment. Debate on the amendment. No debate. Rep. Maney, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
A friendly close, Mr. Chair.
Having waived closed, show the amendment is adopted without objection, and we're back on the bill as amended. Is there public testimony on the bill? Tim Qualls, again, Florida Tax Collector Association, waving in support. Thank you, Mr. Tim. All right. Any debate on the bill? Members, debate? Debate on the bill. No debate. Representative Maney, you're recognized to close.
On behalf of the friendly tax collectors of this state, I waive close.
Having waived
close,
I hope
I have a friendly committee.
Having waived close, Missy, will you please call the roll?
Representatives Andrade?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Cassell?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Hunshofsky?
Yes.
Keene?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Lopez?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Nixon? Placencia?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Smith? Stevenson?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Trunell?
Yes.
Smith? Chair Payne?
Yes. Members, by your vote, show CS for HB 247 as reported as favorably. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Thank you, committee. I appreciate you all.
Members, the next bill we will hear will be CS for HB 1163, Regulation of Water Resources, by Representative McLean, who hopefully will get us all a little more awake this morning because we're very lackadaisical.
Good morning.
You're recognized.
Good morning, Chair Payne, Vice Chair Kennedy, and Ranking Member Hunstofsky, members of the committee. I don't know about you, but I'm just got Margaritaville just humming through my head right now. So, so that was a good way to start a committee. So everybody should be awake. Members, this morning for your consideration, I have House Bill 1163. The bill would require an individual to demonstrate 2 years of experience in water well construction in Florida. Prohibits a business entity from advertising water well drilling or construction services if the business entity is not owned by a licensed water well contractor or employs at least one full-time licensed water well contractor, subjects a business entity to criminal penalties for engaging in unlawful activities, requires entities to whom a water management district has delegated certain enforcement powers to be consistent in their disciplinary guidelines, and the bill currently repeals the Variance Review and Advisory Committee. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Rep. McLean had explained his bill. Members, are there questions of the sponsor? Questions of the sponsor. Who's awake this morning? All right. So we have an amendment to Representative McLean, barcode 907097, and you're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, the amendment will reinstate the Variance Review and Advisory Committee. It states that the Variance Review and Review and Advisory Committee is not responsible for reviewing water well permitting. However, the committee shall consider all requirements as related to on-site sewage treatment and disposal systems, and it would allow for a licensed water well contractor to apply for and receive variance for the installation of private or public potable water wells from the management district who would issues the license.
Members, questions on the amendment? No questions. Public testimony. No public testimony on the amendment. Debate on the amendment. Debate on the amendment. Representative McLean, recognized to close on your amendment.
Wait, close.
Show that amendment adopted without objection. We're back on the bill as amended. Is there public testimony on the bill? Yes, we have. Florida Groundwater Association, Ryan Matthews, and he is waving in support. No other public testimony. Representative McLean, let's see. We're on debate. Debate on the bill, members. Any debate? No debate. Representative McLean, you're recognized to close.
Wave close.
Missy, would you please call the roll on CS for HB 1163?
Representatives Andrade?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Cassell? Cheney?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Hunstofsky?
Yes.
Keen?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Lopez?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Nixon? Placencia?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Trunell? Yes. Chair Payne?
Yes. Members, by your vote, show CS for HB 1163 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, members.
All right, members, next bill is CS for HB 821, Melbourne Till Water Control, Melbourne Tillman Water Control District. I'll get it out in a minute, Representative Altman. You're recognized.
You got it right.
I did.
This is a local bill that addresses the stormwater fees that the Melbourne Tillman a water control district provides, and it caps the fees at $50 per acre per parcel in residential, 17 in agriculture, and 105 in commercial.
Members, questions of the sponsor? Seeing no questions, is there public testimony on the bill? There is no public testimony. Members, we're in debate on the bill. Debate on the bill, no debate. Representative Altman, you're recognized to close.
I wave close.
Missing wave close. Missy, will you please call the roll on CS for HB 821?
Representatives Andrade?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Cassell?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Hanshofsky? Keen?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Lopez?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Smith? Stevenson?
Yes.
Tomko? Trunell? Chair Payne?
Yes. Members, by your vote, show CS for HB 821 reported favorably. And Representative Altman, you're still on deck. You're still up the plate, so you're recognized to explain HB 1407.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 1407 adds the Fleming Bay Patent Water Drop Zone Training Range used by the Army Special Forces Underwater Operations School to the list of major military installations that, due to their mission and activities, have a greater potential for experiencing compatibility and coordination issues with local government planning. If you haven't seen this facility, it is amazing. It's one of the most intense and demanding training centers in all of the military, right down there in Key West. The bill simply requires coordination between local government and the military to ensure that any activities that may take place, any development orders, land use that may have conflicts with the training center, there'll be coordination to try to prevent.
Members, questions of the sponsor? No questions. There's no amendments. Is there public testimony? Seeing no public testimony. Members in debate on the bill? No debate. Representative Altman, you're recognized to close.
I waive close.
Having waived close, Missy, will you please call the roll on HB 1407?
Representative Zandrotti?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Cassell?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Hanshofsky? Keen?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Lopez?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Trunell?
Yes.
Chair Payne?
Yes. Members, by your vote, show HB 1407 reported favorably. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Representative Casello, we are going to move to your bill. Let's see where you are.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members.
Hold on just a second. It's HB 455, Comprehensive Waste Reduction and Recycling Plan by Rep. Casello. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, members. In 2008, the legislator set a statewide goal to recycle at least 75% of the municipal solid waste by 2020. This legislation, along with legislation passed in 2010, established numerous programs and incentives to reach said goal, requiring counties to implement local recycling programs. In 2020, in accordance with the prior legislation, the Department of Environmental Protection published the 2020 Recycling Goal Final Report, which outlines various recommendations. HB 455 instructs the Department of Environmental Protection to develop a comprehensive waste reduction and recycling plan based on the recommendations outlined in DEP's 2020 Recycling Goal Final Report. DEP shall develop a comprehensive plan by 2025 that identifies recycling goals based on sustainable materials management and waste diversion. The DEP shall include a three-year plan to implement the following strategies. One, recycling, education, outreach. Two, evaluate the challenges and benefits of the former state recycling education grant program and provide recommendations for possible reinstatement. And three, develop and promote plans for markets for recycling materials. Upon completion of the plan, provide a report to the President of the Senate and Speaker of the House, including status of the plans and any recommendations for statutory change that would be required to meet the goals set forth in the plan. This bill will help Florida move forward, reducing the overall amount of waste produced through diversion materials from landfill and implementing strategies to increase reuse and recycling. Members, that is the bill.
Members, Representative Casello, having done a great job in explaining his bill, are there questions of the sponsor? Questions of the sponsor? Seeing no questions, is there public testimony? Yes, there is. Recycle Florida Today, Heather Armstrong. And she is the executive director, and she is proponent, and she waves in support. Thank you. Also, we have National Waste Recycling Association, Kena Corey. And she is wishes to appear, wishes to speak. Thank you. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Kena Corey, and I'm here on behalf of the National Waste and Recycling Association, the Florida chapter. That's your friendly garbage guys and gals that are picking up the solid waste and recyclables in front of your house and in the back of your business. We just want to thank Representative Cassell for this great bill. When we worked on this language back in, when was it, 2008, that number for 75% was just plucked out of the air. There was no studies. When I would go to national conference, they'd go, Kena, where could I get a copy of that study? And I had to tell them, no study. So this way now, we'll have a study. We'll come back with DEP and their TAG, which is a technical advisory committee that'll have stakeholders and experts. And so we can present a plan with you with realistic goals and how to get there. So we just wanted to thank Representative Casello and hope that you'll support this good bill.
Thank you, Ms. Corey. Members, is there debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Casello, you're recognized to close.
I'll wave close, Chair.
Ms. Missy, will you please call the roll on HB 455?
Representatives Andrade?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Cassell?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Hanshofsky? Keene?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Lopez?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Trunell? Yes. Chair Payne?
Yes. Members, by your vote, show HB 455 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Okay, members, now we will take up, let's go to Representative Killebrew for CS for HB 475, temporary sales tax exemption for items related to electric transportation. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and if it's okay, I don't have my scooter, so I'm gonna just sit right here.
Well, you can present from right there.
Members, this bill exempts from sales and use tax the retail sale, excluding leases and rentals of electric bikes, electric scooters, and protective clothing and equipment from May 2024 through May 31st, 2024.
Are there questions of the sponsor? Questions of the sponsor, seeing none. We have an amendment by Representative Killebrew, barcode 054367. You're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This conforms to the Senate language and inserts for the use of the rider.
Members, questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, is there public testimony on the amendment? None. Debate on the amendment? Debate on the amendment? No debate. Killebrew, recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave close.
Having waived close, show that amendment is adopted without objection. We're back on the bill. Is there public testimony on the bill? Members, is there debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Killebrew, recognized to close.
Wave close.
Having waived close, Missy, will you please call the roll on CS for HB 475?
Representatives Andrade?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Cassell?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Hanshofsky? Keene?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Lopez?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Nixon? Placencia?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Trunell?
Yes.
Chair Payne?
Yes. Members, by your vote, show CS for HB 475 reported favorably. Next bill up will be CS for HB 379, public record financial information regarding competitive bidding by Representative Trunell. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Members, this is a public records exemption bill, which is currently in law
So it expands upon that for any additional financial information that may be required for the prospective bidders for DOT work. That is the bill.
Members, questions of the sponsor? Questions of the sponsor? Seeing none, of public testimony. No public testimony. Members, we're in debate on the bill. Debate on the bill. Seeing no debate, Representative Pruneau, you recognize to close on your bill.
Waive close.
And waive close. Ms. Hui, please call the roll on CS for HB 379.
Representatives Andrade?
Yes.
Lutana?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Cassell?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Hanchovsky? Keen?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Lopez?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Trunell?
Yes.
Chair Payne?
Yes. Members, by your vote, show CS for HB 379 reported favorably. Okay, Representative Mooney, we will take up your bill, CS for HB 1571, Florida Keys Aqueduct Authority.
Thank you, Chair. This is a local bill. This bill removes a provision prohibiting the combination of a water system with a sewer system within the geographic boundaries of the authority for the purpose of financing, and that is the bill.
Are there questions of the sponsor? Seeing no questions, public testimony, no public testimony. Members in debate. We're in debate. Any debate on the bill? No debate. Rep. Mooney, you're recognized to close.
Wave close.
Missy, we please call the roll on CS for HB 1571.
Representatives Andrade?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Cassell?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Hanchovsky? Keen?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Lopez?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Nixon? Placencia?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Trunell?
Yes.
Chair Payne?
Yes. Members, by your vote, show CS for HB 1571 reported favorably. Okay, members, now we're on to Rep. Cheney, who has three bills. Rep. Cheney, you're recognized to explain CS for HB 321, release of balloons.
Thank you, Chair Payne. Very simply, this bill moves the release, intentional release, of a balloon into the litter statute subject to a litter fine. The purpose for this bill is the release of a balloon is harmful to our environment, harmful to our sea life, and even to livestock. We all have seen pictures of turtles dying and choking on balloons. Florida is the number one nesting location for the leatherback turtle, and a top nesting location for other endangered species. And we have our own a representative from the House that's had a pregnant cow and her baby die when ingesting a balloon. So there's no good reason to release a balloon, and there's lots of other ways to do it. Even a biodegradable balloon is not safe for animals. I've visited the University of Florida, and they have operated on animals having to remove the strings and the attachments. This bill is supported by the Retail Federation, the Cattlemen's Association, multiple environmental groups, and I just want to give a shout out to Party City, who I see is here today, who's doing a terrific job of educating consumers on the reasons why you don't want to release a balloon and provides for a recycling program. And that is the bill.
Members, questions of the sponsor? Are there questions of the sponsor? Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Hi, Rep. Cheney. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to talk with you, but I have a few questions because I know people that do balloon releases. What happens if someone is caught releasing a balloon in regards to your bill?
You're recognized.
I'm not sure I heard your question, but I think you asked what happens if somebody is caught releasing a balloon. So first of all, this is the intentional release of a balloon. So this is not a small child running and accidentally releasing, or even an adult. This is the intentional release. And sadly, we've all seen people throwing trash out of their car in littering, which is currently against the law. and very few, if any of them, ever get ticketed. So I believe that the true value of this bill is going to be in education, that litter is bad and balloons are litter, and that is bad.
So, Rep. Cheney, I'm not sure you answered a question. If someone intentionally releases a balloon, is there a penalty?
Thank you. Sorry, Chair Payne. I got on my soapbox. It's a $150 fine per the litter statute.
Thank you. Additional questions? Anyone? Seeing no additional questions. Are there no amendments? Is there public testimony on the bill? Yes. First, we have from Sierra Club, David Cullen, and he is waving in support. Also from, I believe it's Oceana, Travis Moore, and he is proponent, waving in support. Thank you, sir. Coalition for Responsible Celebration, Maria Stockman. She is a proponent and she wishes to speak. Thank you for being here. You're recognized.
My name is Maria Stockham. I'm the Executive Director of the Coalition for Responsible Celebration. Our coalition represents a wide range of businesses, from balloon manufacturers to small independent decorators, distributors to retailers such as Party City, grocers, florists, and mom-and-pop shops, all of whom are committed to promoting environmentally responsible practices in the celebration industry. Our mission is simple: to be responsible stewards of the environment and to educate consumers about proper balloon use and disposal, including recycling. It's possible to enjoy balloons while being also protecting the environment. That's why we're in support of the current legislation, which provides clear statewide guidance on balloon releases. I want to thank Representative Cheney, the committee, and staff for the opportunity to address this important issue. We're eager to collaborate on solutions that not only support local businesses, but also support and promote responsible balloon usage. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional public testimony. Lorena Holly, General Counsel for Florida Retail Federation, is waving in support. Thank you. And also from Conservation Florida, Leslie Ames, and she is waving in support. Humane Society of the United States, Kate McFall, wishes to appear. And so we'll just count her as waving in support. I think that's all the public testimony. Members, is there debate on the bill? Debate on the bill, no debate. Rep. Cheney, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair Payne. I just encourage all of the stakeholders that support this bill to help me in educating the community about the harmful effects of an intentionally released balloon. And I encourage other retailers to follow in the footsteps of Party City and be outspoken about this. With that, I close.
Having closed the bill, Missy, will you please call the roll and see us for HB 321?
Representatives Andrade?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Cassell?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Gottlieb?
Yes.
Hunshofsky? Keene?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Lopez?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Trunell?
Yes.
Chair Payne?
Yes. Members, by your vote, show CS for HB 321 reported favorably. Next, Rep. Cheney, you're still on deck. CS for HB 1487, Pinellas Suncoast Transit Authority. You're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Chair Payne. This is a local bill for Pinellas County's Transit Authority. The service is 94% taxpayer subsidized, yet serves less than 2% of the population. Because of this, I felt that the legislature needed to step in. There's a mere 6 routes that make up 60% of the ridership, just 6 routes. Ridership is plummeted by 43% and continues in a downward spiral, Yet in this time frame, the PSTA board has hired 100 more employees and added 22 buses, digging further into the taxpayers' pocket. All of this has motivated me to address our local delegation with this local bill to bring more accountability and transparency to PSTA by reducing the size of the board. The PSTA board has 15 members. The largest board in the largest county in the state of Florida has 13 members. The bill also requires 2/3 vote of the board for any lane elimination and eminent domain powers. This board has the ability to take your front yard and turn it into a bus stop, to put more empty buses on the road. The bill also requires that ads and wraps on the bus be paid, not be paid for with taxpayer dollars if they are of a social or political nature, except for veterans and holidays. Those are the only wraps that are allowed by taxpayer dollars. The bill also requires semi-annual reporting to the county commission. PSTA spent $700,000 on a study to analyze their system that determined that they should focus, the board should focus on the main routes and consider things like microtransit for the other routes. Yet the board has ignored this and has continued to expand with buses and staff and taxpayer money. Because of this, I've run this local bill, and I ask for your support.
Members, Representative Cheney, having explained her bill, are the questions of the sponsor. Representative Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, and I'm so sorry my back is to you, Rep. Cheney. I apologize for that. I know there's been some conversation with some members of our Democratic caucus. I'm curious, does the entire delegation locally, do they support this bill, or maybe walk me through some of the disagreement if it does exist?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Payne. Thank you, Rep. Escamani, for that question. The members of the delegation who oppose this are your fellow Democratic members, and I know they've asked you to vote down today. And I'm very disappointed in that because it's that exact citizenry that is not receiving transit services. And if the board were to pay attention to the studies and respond to the needs of those who actually need transit to get to work and consider a more cost-effective way like microtransit. It's been estimated that each ride is $65. And some of the public that has less transit is having to transport three different times to get to their job, where at $65, we could send them on an Uber. You know, this board is just making one bad decision on top of another, and they're hurting their very own constituency just so that they could stay on the board.
Additional questions? Rep. Escamani, you recognize.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for that response. Just looking a little more into the bill itself, can you walk me through just the advertising provision? What's the motivation to change the advertising restrictions?
Rep. Cheney.
Thank you, Chair Payne. The motivation for that is because PSTA is using taxpayer dollars for social and political messaging, and I do not believe that that's the role of the government. If they want social and political messaging on the buses, then they should do that in an equal manner. Let's have support life and, you know, protest against abortions on the bus. As long as we want to get into political and social messaging, that's a big nest to get into. And I think they just need to stick to paid advertising.
Rep. Nixon, you have a question?
Thank you, Chair. Hi, Rep. Cheney. Could you give, I'm not sure if that was a specific example, but like, can you give specific examples that have been wrapped around a bus?
Rep. Cheney, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Payne. Yep, there's Ride with Pride messages, there's Pride Week messages, there's messages to do with a lot of individual groups
that I do not believe should be supported by taxpayers' money. If those groups want to put out a public message, they need to pay for it, not use taxpayer money.
Follow-up, Rep. Nixon.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Chair. So, Rep. Cheney, I'm really interested because in Jacksonville, we do something like, we do the Jazz Festival every year. So would your bill stop advertising on buses for, like, if y'all have a jazz festival, that type of thing?
Rep. Cheney, you recognize.
Thank you, Chair Payne. This is a local bill, so it only pertains to PSTA, but I would encourage your transit authority to also take a close look at themselves and how taxpayer money is being used.
Next, you recognize.
Thanks, Rep. Payne. I'm sorry, Chair Payne. But no, that's not, I'm sorry, Rep. Cheney. That's not what I asked. I asked, would this limit you all from advertising local events that are put on by your county or your city or whatever? Would that stop them from advertising those type of events?
Rep. Cheney, specifically to your district.
Thank you, Chair Payne. If it's of a political or social nature, yes, it would prevent it.
Follow-ups? Additional questions? Rep. Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Chair, and thank you again, Rep. Cheney. Shifting gears a little bit, just the lane diet changes. What's the reasoning for the two-thirds board vote on, you know, looking at those types of traffic patterns?
Rep. Cheney, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Payne. Because the constituency has felt that they've been left out of that process, and while they're driving down the road one day, suddenly a lane is eliminated the next day, and the buses are empty. Less than 2% of the population is riding on those buses. So to remove a lane for less than 2% of the population does not make sense to me. So I want to make sure that there's lots of public input and education before that happens.
Rep. Escamani, do you have a follow-up? Rep. Gilbert, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Did you say who has oversight over this board?
Representative Cheney.
Thank you, Chair Payne. The board has sole authority.
Follow up. We're good. Rep. Nixon, you're in questions.
Thanks, Chair. So, Rep. Cheney, going back to the advertising piece, just based on, like, testimony that's been coming throughout the chambers recently, would promotion of, like, Black History Month or something, would that be considered social or political advertising?
Rep. Cheney, you recognize?
Thank you, Chair Payne. That would be up to the board to follow the guidance of whether that's social or political messaging. And if Black History Month is recognized in statute as a holiday, then it would be allowed. If it's not, I would. If I were the board, I would determine it to be not allowed.
Additional questions? Additional questions? Yes, Rep. Robinson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Payne. Listening to the question when you said that the board, so who appoints the board? Because you say that they are their own authority. Where does their appointment come from?
Rep. Cheney, you recognize?
Thank you, Chair Payne. So, first of all, the PSTA was established by the legislature as a special act over 20 years ago. So we created them as a special act. They elect themselves to the board. So each, in the special act, it identifies where the board members come from geographically. And then within that area, they determine who is going to be on the board. So the commission, the city commission would select a member represent them.
So just clarification. So
additional question, you recognize?
So they are they elected or they're appointed by their city commissioner or county commissioner or how I'm trying to figure out which way they go.
Rep. Cheney.
Thank you, Chair Payne. It's outlined in the special act. Some of the seats are elected officials, and amongst those elected officials, they select a person. And then some of the seats are resident, non-elected people, and amongst that city, they select those non-elected people to be on the
board. Follow up, you're recognized.
Thank you. So if what's happening here, you're saying that the residents don't like, can't they not elect them so that they're not able to be on this board and make these decisions that they not, you know, appreciating?
Representative Cheney.
Thank you, Chair Payne. Thanks to this bill, I think the public is going to be much more aware of the 94% taxpayer subsidized service that's only serving less than 2% of the population. So when elections come around again for their county commissioners, their city commissioners, hopefully they'll be aware and can vote them off. But up until this bill was filed, there was very little visibility. And that's part of what this bill does, is bring visibility to the public, accountability. By reducing the board, there's more visibility and accountability of who's voting for what.
Rep. Robinson, you have one more follow-up?
Yes, and that's where I was going, because you're saying you're reducing the board. So I'm trying to say, if you're reducing the board, I would like to know, how is that going to affect the makeup of the people being represented? And I wanted to say, wouldn't that be less representation? Because the way it appeared when you were talking about is that you had a board covering every area. So now if you're taking some away, how are those people being represented?
Representative Cheney.
Thank you, Chair Payne. Without getting into the details, because this is a local bill, every area will still be equally represented.
Representative Nixon, you have a follow-up question.
Yes, Chair. Thank you. I'm sorry. So I'm really interested, Rep. Cheney. Can you be specific about the exact makeup of the board? Like, will it be three residents taken away? Is it three elected officials? Like, can you give us the full list of, like, who will be on the board if your bill passes?
Rep. Cheney, if you can go into detail on that. If not, just do the best you can on that question. I'm not sure that's explicit in the bill.
Thank you, Chair Payne. Yeah, the makeup of the board is changed at a high level, and they still have the ability to make their own determination who is going to be on the board. Every geographic area is represented. The areas that are overrepresented now, for instance, the city of St. Petersburg, which is, that's the Democrat members who are opposing this bill, they have four members on the board representing them. This is now reduced to one. There are geographic areas consisting of 11 and 12 cities that have one representative for that entire group. So the city of St. Petersburg is very well represented. All of the communities are represented. Some of them are in a rotation, and some of them have an assigned seat. St. Petersburg has their own seat. Other areas are in a rotation among as many as 11 cities. So for St. Petersburg to say they're, you know, misrepresented or feel like they're losing representation, I think is not a fair or accurate representation on their part.
All right, members, we're going to follow up with a couple more questions. Rep. Eskimani, you have the final question, and we'll come back to Rep. Robinson.
Thank you so much, Chairman. So St. Pete Pride is one of the largest prides in the Southeast. If the bus system wanted to advertise and promote St. Pete Pride, would they be allowed to do that under your bill?
Rep. Cheney.
Thank you, Chair Payne. That's a social and political message, no.
Okay, Rep. Robinson, you have one follow-up.
Thank you. I guess I want clarity. You just said that a certain district now has four representatives. With your bill, it would reduce them to one. How did we come up with that? And I guess I kind of want to know, why do they have four representatives now? Was it because of the population? And then what reason would that, because that seemed like a really big change from four to one.
I think that's been asked and answered, but I'll let Representative Cheney go back over it one more time if you'd like.
Thank you, Chair Payne. When you need to reduce the size of a board, you're going to have to take seats away. And as I said, there are 11 cities in one grouping that gets one representative. So would you suggest those 11 cities get none so the city of St. Pete can keep four?
But it didn't ask. Sorry, I'm sorry.
Okay, last question.
Okay, it didn't ask how. I guess my question is, right now, the way it's set up, why did they have four? I'm saying, what was the rationale? What was the ruling or the standard presently for the board members?
Rep. Robinson, I think she answered that earlier in the fact that it was created 20 years ago, but Rep. Cheney, you want to take another stab at that?
That's correct, Chair Payne, and there's no written or documented rationale.
Okay, members, we're going to move on. Is there public testimony on the bill? No, members, is there debate on the bill? Debate on the bill, members. Rep. Nixon, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to ask my colleagues to vote down on this. This just seems as though it's trying to dilute a specific area as it relates to their influence on the board. And then also, it's going to potentially hurt the city of St. Pete if they're not able to promote one of the largest festivals in the South. We shouldn't be hurting our municipalities. And I really don't see what the problem is promoting pride. We should want to have pride. We should want to encourage our different communities to be their authentic selves. That makes our democracy so great. So please vote down on this bill.
Additional members in debate. Rep. Robinson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And for me, it would be, I guess I would feel more comfortable with this if it was maybe a HJR where it actually went to the people in those communities, so that, because you said that you want to bring awareness about what's actually happening. So then if you want to bring awareness to it, then let's go ahead and put it on the ballot so that all of these people in all of the different communities would know, and then they can make some decisions rather than you're bringing it here to us, someone that don't even serve or live in those communities, to decide the fate of all of the different communities there. And I just feel that that's kind of preemptive, and when it comes to being preemptive, I'm always a no.
Additional debate. Rep. Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Chair, and thank you, Rep. Cheney, for answering our questions. I can tell you're passionate about this issue, and I really do respect that. I'm going to unfortunately have to be down on the bill for some of the concerns my colleague shared. The advertisement piece, you know, I want to echo Rep. Nixon. I think it's really important, especially, you know, these economic drivers for the region, St. Pete Pride in particular. It's one of the largest prides in the Southeast. I don't see it as a political or social, I don't see it as an event that should be something that we shy away from. I think St. Pete is known to really celebrate diversity, and they should embrace that and have the freedom to advertise that too. And then we are, with this bill, we are diluting representation from St. Pete, because the representation will go from, you know, 2 of 15 to 1 of 10. And then for the county commission representation, it's going from 4 of 15 to 4 of 10. So that's less than a third influence of 40% influence. So I do have some concern with that shift as well. And so unfortunately, I'm going to have to be down. But thank you so much for answering our questions.
Additional debate, members. Additional debate. Seeing none, Rep. Cheney, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair Payne. To respond to some of the comments here, I'm not saying that you can't promote an event. You just need to pay for it. It's not the responsibility of the taxpayer. It's just the taxpayer money. As far as putting it on the ballot, would love to put PSTA on the ballot. Less than 2% of the population rides that bus, any of those buses. Those routes are not efficient. Only 6 of those routes make up 60% of the ridership. This is a 94% subsidized taxpayer service that's only serving less than 2% with 6 routes. With that, I ask for your support. Thank you.
Representative Cheney, having closed on CS for HB 1487, Missy, will you please call the roll?
Representative Zandrotti?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Cassell?
No.
Cheney?
Yes.
Escamani?
No.
Gottlieb?
No.
Hunchovsky?
No.
Keene?
No.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Lopez?
No.
McFarland? Yes. Mooney? Yes. Nixon?
No.
Placencia?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Robinson?
No.
Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Trunell?
Yes.
Chair Payne?
Yes. 16. Members, by your vote, show that bill is reported favorably. Rep. Cheney, you're still up for CS for HB 1557. This is our last bill of the day, so you're recognized. Explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair Payne, and thank you, committee, for your patience with me. This is a DEP package bill intended to improve water quality in our state. It establishes a new aquatic preserve that encompasses the Christian Jacobs Coral Reef Ecosystem Conservation Area on the East Coast, ensures that reclaimed water is treated to minimize the nutrients entering our waterway while promoting its use to eliminate surface water discharge and meet growing water supply challenges. It requires facilities with basin management action plans or other restoration areas to provide information that supports the development of domestic wastewater treatment plants and on-site sewage treatment and disposal systems, remediation plans, which are important for restoring water quality in these challenging areas. Creates a program within DEP to expeditiously review enhanced nutrient-reducing technologies for on-site sewage treatment and disposal systems, and ensures that DEP has the appropriate authority following the transfer of the on-site septic program transfer from the Department of Health to the DEP, and that is the bill.
Members, there are four amendments on the bill, but are there questions on the underlying bill? Questions on the underlying bill? Seeing no questions, Representative Cheney, you're recognized to explain barcode 458565.
This amendment clarifies that applicants for a consumptive use permit are only eligible for a permit of up to 30 years or an extension of 10 years if the water development project uses reclaimed water that meets AWT advanced water treatment standards for nitrogen and phosphorus.
Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment, public testimony on the amendment, no public testimony, debate on the amendment. Seeing no debate, Rep. Cheney, you're recognized to close on the
wave
amendment.
Close.
Rep. Cheney, having waived close, show that amendment adopted without objection. Rep. Cheney, we're going to move to amendment 2, barcode 057967. You're recognized to explain your amendment.
The amendment simply clarifies the date each year by which certain entities must submit a list of proposed projects to DEP.
Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, is a public testimony. No public testimony. Debate on the amendment. We're in debate. Members on the amendment. No debate. Representative Cheney, you recognize to close on your amendment.
Waive close.
Having waived close, so that amendment is adopted without objection. Amendment 3, Representative Cheney, barcode 865093, you're recognized to explain.
This amendment corrects an amendment that was adopted in the first committee stop, just clarifies the language, corrects the language.
Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, public testimony. Let's see. I'm having a hard time. American Coalition. Flood Coalition, that looks like Kate Weiner. Hey, Kate, you waving in support? Kate's waving in support, thank you. No other public testimony. Debate on the amendment, members. Debate on the amendment, seeing no debate. Representative Cheney, you recognize close on your amendment.
Waive close.
Having waived close, show that amendment adopted without objection. Moving on to Amendment 4 by Rep. Cheney, barcode 984357, you're recognized to explain your amendment.
This amendment clarifies that wastewater treatment facilities providing reclaimed water for irrigation must meet AWT criteria only if DEP has determined that the use of reclaimed is causing or contributing to the nutrient impairment being addressed in a basin management action plan or a reasonable assurance plan area.
Questions on the amendment, Ranking Member Hinchowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just had the question I have on this is why would we only want those criteria to be met if DEP determined that the use of reclaimed water is causing or contributing to the nutrient impairment? Why wouldn't we always want that standard no matter what?
Representative Cheney.
Thank you, Chair Payne. Because if there is some reclaimed water that is not contributing to the quality of what the degradation in the quality of water, there's no reason for there to be changes there. This is intended to improve water quality. So it clarifies when water quality is not acceptable, you need to change it. And when it is acceptable, you don't necessarily have to follow the mandates of this bill.
Ranking Member, follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So does that mean when
it's not causing or contributing to the nutrient impairment. It is already meeting that advanced criteria.
Rep. Cheney, if you want to take a shot at that, or we can continue this offline if you want more detail, if that would be helpful to you. Rep. Cheney, you want to answer this? You want to
Thank you, Chair Payne. I was going to say, if I had those questions ahead of time, I could, you know, have more detail for you. I know DEP is in the audience, but my understanding is that, yes, you're correct. But I'm...
Rep. Cheney, we have DEP here. If you'd like to, Adam, if you'd like to join in on this conversation, we'd love for you to give some clarity to us on that. Adam Blaylock from DEP. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Payne. Representative, yeah, currently under the bill, it did apply to all BMAP areas. It was put into the statute a little bit broadly, and there are some areas of the state where reclaimed really isn't contributing to the impairment, and kind of weighing the cost benefit of requiring that AWT for reclaimed areas. But as more reclaim comes online in those areas where it hasn't been determined, and we start seeing that it does have nutrient impacts, then we would make that determination, and then they would have to meet AWT. And it's really only in about three BMAPs currently that we haven't made that determination, so it's a pretty small universe.
Okay, Rep. Honchowski, I'll allow you a question for Mr. Blaylock if you need some clarity.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and just for everybody, you know, these amendments come up the night before. We have an 8 a.m. meeting. It's very hard to have a lengthy discussion when we're not given a heads up that they're coming prior to the meeting. So why? I guess I'm just trying to understand, why would we not want to have the standard as opposed to waiting for a negative impact? Why wouldn't we want to be proactively making sure that we never get to the negative impact by just requiring that standard everywhere?
You recognize.
Yeah, excuse me. We just had concerns raised that the cost of meeting those AWT standards in areas where it wasn't having a negative impact on water quality, and so we amended it to make it to where it would be in those areas where it was causing or contributing. Like I said, it's a small area. Most of our BMAPs already have that determination in there. And as we update our BMAPs annually, or every 5 years when we do a full update, we can make that determination. So at any time we can, if we're seeing that, yeah, a certain area is increasing the amount of reclaim they're using, and it is having an impact, then we would be able to do that, and they would have to meet that criteria.
Thank you, sir. Well, do you have questions? Do you want to answer? Go ahead, Representative Scimani.
Thank you, Chair. It's great to have you here with us. How long does it often take to determine if there is a problem? I guess I'm thinking, is it a year later, 2 years later? Like, what's that timeline to say, oh, no, like, we have a problem with this reclaimed water, for example?
You recognize, Chair.
Yeah, and it all depend on some of our BMAP areas. In some areas where we have a lot of data collection and we have models that have been put, we can really, you know, at any time be able to pinpoint where reclaim might be having an effect. It also depends in areas where you do have a lot of reclaimed. In some areas, there might not be a lot of reclaim yet. But as we move more into septic to sewer and trying to incentivize reclaim for alternative water supplies, well, there's the potential, if it's not meeting AWT, that additional nutrient loading could have an impact. And so, yeah, we continue to collect water quality data, and we're able to make that determination pretty quickly.
Okay, good. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Members, we're in public testimony. No public testimony. Debate on the amendment. Representative Robinson, debate on the amendment.
Thank you. And I'm happy that we were able to get some additional information. For me, this amendment is going to be a no, because it appears that I'm kind of getting that it might be a money issue, but it seems as if we're just not really trying to be preventative rather than, sometimes we always be reactive. And I think that if we're going to be using reclaimed water, we should be checking it and making sure that it's safe before it becomes a problem. So I don't agree with this amendment.
Representative Stevenson, you recognize an amendment for debate.
Thank you. I appreciate the conversation. I wasn't involved in this amendment directly, but I did hear from one of the Northeast Florida counties that is county-run utilities. It is a very responsible and very, very extensive communication. And if you were given a utility a gold star, you'd give them a gold star. And one of the things they said was, we advertise to our residents who we engage regularly to reduce their fertilizer to compensate for the amount of nutrient load. So for their point of view, it seemed logical. They're investing in a lot of other things right now. But I also appreciate and understand the other question, because it's easier to clean up water, to prevent it from getting in bad shape than to clean it up. But I do understand a logic from at least some utilities that are requesting this and probably were behind this amendment. And that I will be supporting the bill because of what I heard raised there. Thank you.
Additional debate on the amendment? Seeing no additional debate on the amendment, Representative Cheney, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Thank you, Chair Payne. I just want the committee to know that I am very committed to water quality in the state of Florida. When I was a city commissioner, I proposed and passed the very first ordinance in this entire state of Florida that was a fertilizer ban, something my colleagues probably don't agree with. I spent a lot of time with DEP filtering through all the requests, all the amendments that were requested. I rejected some because of my commitment to water quality and our environment. And I think we've struck a good balance here. And I want to thank the staff of DEP. I about wore them out with the amount of meetings I had with them. When stakeholders came to me with concerns, I got everyone around the table. We all discussed it. And as Chair Stevenson said, I believe that we've struck a good balance here. We've met the needs for water quality without overburdening taxpayers. That I close.
Reverend Cheney hadn't closed on her amendment. All in favor of the amendment say yay.
Yay. Yay.
All opposed say no.
Yay.
Show the amendment is adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Is there public testimony on the bill? Yes, we have public testimony. Martha Gaius, American Sports Fishing Association, Southeast Fishery Policy Director.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you to DEP and Representative Cheney, the bill sponsor, for meeting with us on this bill, specifically the aquatic preserve portion. There have been past discussions in this area about limiting fishing and boating access. And there's an underlying statute related to aquatic preserves that authorizes the Board of Trustees to develop rules related to fishing and boating that hasn't been updated to reflect FWC's constitutional authority. And so we'd like some clarity on the legislative intent that this authority, as it relates to aquatic preserves, remains with FWC's jurisdiction, and that DEP's management plan for the aquatic preserve would be limited to those subjects under its purview. Thank you.
Thank you. Senior Director of Policy for Audubon, Florida, Beth Alfie, waving in support. Thank you. That's it for public testimony. Members, we're in debate on the bill. Debate on the bill. Ranking Member Hunchofsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Cheney, while we may not have agreed on the amendment, I will say I am grateful for a lot of the other things in this bill, and especially when reading about the coral reef and the legislation that we unanimously passed out of the legislature in 2021, naming the coral reef after a colleague and a good friend to many of us here. Reason I'm serving here, Kristen Jacobs, former Representative Kristen Jacobs, and just seeing her name come up as part of the aquatic preserve just made me very happy, and I just want to say thank you for that.
Additional debate. Representative Robinson.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Cheney. I really do appreciate all that you're doing to keep the water clean and making sure we have good quality Definitely still don't agree with that one amendment, but I will definitely be up on the bill, so just keep up.
Representative Stevenson in debate.
Thank you. I just would echo Representative Hinchofsky's comments about Christian Jacobs. She was a wonderful person. I served with her at Florida Association of Counties, and then here in the State House, and you know, it was really sad to lose her, and I think this is a great testament to the work she did over her lifetime. Thank you.
Additional debate? Seeing none, I'm going to jump in and echo those sentiments. Kristen was a dear friend. I spoke to her up until the last week before she passed. So thank you for carrying this bill. Members, I appreciate your debate on these issues. I think that we've started to move the needle a little bit in our minds as far as what is important to us on water policy, so I appreciate the debate on that. And if there's issues that you aren't certain on or issues that we need more clarity on, we're certainly welcome to have more discussion. Representative Cheney, I know you'll welcome that, and I'd be glad to be a part of that as well. So with that, Representative Cheney, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair Payne. I'm closing on the bill now.
Yeah, we already covered the amendment. We're closing on the bill. Yes.
Closing on the bill. So I just want to respond to the comment and concern about FWC and remind us all that 258.43 statute states that restrictions on human activity within an aquatic preserve cannot unreasonably interfere with sport or commercial fishing or boating, and that the Florida Constitution, Chapter 379, FWC has sole authority over fishing, and DEP would be prohibited from regulating fishing within the Christian Jacobs Aquatic Preserve. Similarly, Chapter 327 grants FWC with the authority to regulate vessels, and designating an area as an aquatic preserve does not alter that. So I got a couple of requests about FWC and DEP's authority within the Christian Jacobs area, so I hope that clarifies it. And I just want to reiterate that I am probably one of the most committed members in the House to water quality. And I thank DEP for all of their hard work on this. That I close.
Representative Cheney, having closed on CS for HB 1557, Missy, will you please call the roll?
Representatives Andrade? Yes. Botana?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Cannon?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Michelle?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Gottlieb? Hinchofsky?
Yes.
Keene?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Lopez?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Nixon? Yes. Placencia?
Yes.
Redondo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Shove?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Trunell? Chair Payne.
Yes. Members, by your vote, show CS for HB 1557 reported favorably. Members, that concludes our meeting for today. I appreciate you all getting up really early and getting here. And I think the next few weeks, our meetings will be a little bit longer. So thank you for that. So seeing no further business, Representative Schoaf moves we rise. Without objection, we're adjourned.